This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. A big slate of college football tonight. Aaron Halterman joins us, RacingDudes.com. Of course, handicapper at Racing_Dudes. Dudes Who Bet Sports is the podcast. For those that don't know, Halterman is a multi-sport handicapper. And low-key, maybe his favorite sport to handicap is college football. He's got a ton of plays for us today. As we say hi to Aaron, we should just kind of put the Traverse to bed, if you don't mind. I will say the stretch drive there with Fierceness edging out Torpedo Anna, the Philly, and the Traverse was about as exciting as it gets. And I hope you could explain to the audience that, you know, maybe thought Torpedo Anna losing was rough. The speed figures coming out of that race were incredible.
It gives me chills just thinking about it. And being there on Saturday was just phenomenal. And sometimes you lose a race, but you really win a race. And that's what Torpedo Anna did. So basically what happened at the top of the stretch, Fierceness, a horse that you and I did a show on Kentucky Derby Day and said he could be a monster. He was awful that day. He's been sensational since. Fierceness ran the best race of his life. Nobody ever makes up ground on Fierceness when he runs that type of race. He is elite. And guess what? The filly was three lengths behind him at the top of the stretch and finished a nose behind him. She was trying with every stride. She was gaining. You mentioned the buyer speed figures. It came back as a 111 rating, which is tremendous. That is some of the best, if not the best, in the country so far this year. The filly's best before was a 99, and she jumps up to a 111. And it was kind of what we thought she could do when she is challenged, when she has to compete harder. We kind of speculated she'll be able to do it. And she showed not only could she do it, but she just about ran down one of the best horses in the country when he runs, well, the best horse in the country when he runs his race. It was breathtaking. At the top of the stretch, I thought, wow, she's going to run a good second, but this Fierceness is just a freak and you can't beat him. And then with every stride, that place got louder and louder and louder. Heartbreaking loss, but she really lost nothing in defeat. An incredible effort.
Yeah, for context, a 111 speed figure is just bananas. It's that the filly was flying. I think with a couple more gallops, she does pass Fierceness. So again, a tremendous race. And we do have a pick from Aaron Halterman coming up at Del Mar in race three, which we're going to get to. But we do have a little surprise for Mr. Halterman, who has been a longtime staple here on Sharp Money. And of course, he's known as the Plus Money Prince, and his accent. 110. Dustin, let's go ahead and set this up.
Yeah, so it turns out you have a big fan out there. And I got this message from Jake Novakovic. He was our Sharp Money Survivor contestant a week ago. And apparently someone in his household is a big Aaron Halterman fan. Here's the video he sent me.
110.
110.
110. 110.
110.
110. 110.
110.
110.
110.
The Halterman.
110.
110.
It's like a minute of that. So the kid's just hearing you say 110. He's going to go to school one day and he's going to have to say 110. He's going to sound like you. 110.
I've never been more proud. Never been more proud.
The kid kind of looks like you.
Look, it kind of does a little bit. No comment on that. But look, that's amazing. I love it. Like I said, this is my shining moment. My whole career, you know, not just VSiN, but on the sports as well, or on the horses as well, on Racing Dudes. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
110.
110. So for those just joining, we've had fun with Aaron's accent in the past, and I just caught on to one of the things that he'd say. He'd say not 110, like, you know, a normal human. He'd say 110. And even his wife gets a kick out of it. And apparently maybe the cutest fan in the history of VSiN got a kick out of it as well. You can't beat that. That kid's adorable. 110.
That's great. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I love that.
And that's probably
so
the hardest I've seen. Yeah, 110. Well, it's probably the hardest I've seen you laugh as well. That was great. And who sent that in, big guy?
Jake Novakovic, our guy.
Novakovic, thank you. You have an adorable child. That was awesome. Thank you for that. Okay, we'll try to transition. That was too good. And we've got a big one tonight in Minnesota. Could have some weather. I'm right there with you on your play, but we're on an island. Mostly everybody on North Carolina, but you are taking PJ Fleck and a revenge spot in Minnesota catching the two.
Yeah, look, I think the style clash is going to be big time in this race. You got Minnesota that's a ground and pound team against North Carolina, throws the ball over the field. North Carolina's lost a lot of guys. They've got a lot of question marks, and I think that's the biggest thing. Of course, Drake May's gone, you know, but offensively, how good are they going to have to be to make up for a defense that's usually poor? I just am skeptical of North Carolina, and this is a very tough first game going to Minnesota. You mentioned the weather. It's, you know, that is a tough place to play without any doubt. And then you look at the Minnesota side of it. I think people are down because starting running back's out, but Marcus Major is going to be the starting running back now. I know him well because he was at Oklahoma, and he's a solid back. He'll be just fine there at Minnesota. And look, I think the biggest thing with Minnesota, the brand of football is physical, and I think they've got that. But they got a transfer quarterback, Max Brosmer. I'm kind of excited for this guy. He's coming from the FCS, but he's got a cannon, guys. He's got an arm, and I think if he can make enough throws, kind of make himself known early in the season here, I think it can loosen up that Minnesota offense a little bit. So I'm going to take the upset. Give me Minnesota plus 1.5 here. I think they're going to be able to run the ball and throw it enough to beat North Carolina.
Yeah, this is the and thank you for the update on Minnesota's RB1, because there were questions of whether or not he would play. He is officially ruled out, so I do appreciate that. But this is a PJ Fleck game. Got a beatdown in Chapel Hill last year, has had all spring, all summer to prepare for this game. He's 5-1 at home openers there in Minnesota, the one loss to Ohio State. I think this sets up perfectly for that run game of Minnesota against North Carolina. I like the two as well. Next one up, maybe the most exciting just from a clashing perspectives, an FCS, North Dakota powerhouse, North Dakota State, of course, taking on Colorado. You can get 10.5 all the way up to 11 right now, and you're going to take it with North Dakota State.
Yeah, give me the Bison all day long. Listen, you said it, going to be a big style mashup here in this one as well. I got to be honest, guys. I just don't buy Colorado. I didn't buy him last year. I don't buy him here. A lot of new guys here. Can the lines, being offensive, defensive line, be better? I think that's going to be the big key. But for me personally, even if Colorado's taken a step and they are a little bit better, isn't this a lot of points? I mean, North Dakota State is no joke. And I'm going to tell you something. They will come into Colorado believing they can win this game. That's half the battle when it's an FCS school coming on the road to a FBS team. Do you believe you're going to win? North Dakota State's coming here to win the game. I guarantee you that. They're not looking to cover. They're not looking for moral victories. They believe they can win. Now, look, they'll have a tough time stopping Colorado, but I think Colorado will have a tough time stopping North Dakota State. I think it's close. Colorado may win. North Dakota State's going to cover. I'm pretty confident in that one.
I feel right there with you. What's interesting is I think both defenses, I agree with you, are going to have trouble stopping the other offense. Yesterday, we were sitting on the show, it was 61. That total has dipped all the way down to 55. So something interesting just to take note of. Utah. Utah is the favorite there in your little conference, the Big 12. No offense to Oklahoma. Utah is laying 38.5 at home, which is a tough place to play. Southern Utah coming to call the Utes. What do you got here?
Well, first of all, I don't have to defend the Big 12 anymore because it just means more to Oklahoma.
Yeah, the
now
SEC.
We're in the SEC.
Well, good luck.
All right, let's go to Utah, though, who in that little Big 12 conference, as you like to say, I think they're the favorites to win this thing. And maybe, and I'll be honest, I might be too high on them, but I love Cam Rising, and I think he's the big difference maker in that Utah offense. You looked at him last year, they really struggled without him. But you look at the year before, that offense was dynamic because Cam Rising is a guy. Like, he is a hell of a player. He's tough as nails. I think he comes out tonight, and he's ready to rock and roll. So I think the offense will be good. The defense at Utah, you're always high on them. They're always tough. They're always a physical football team on the defensive side of it. So I hate laying a lot of points, but I think in this situation, they're going to swarm Southern Utah here. They're going to have trouble scoring. Southern Utah, I'm talking about. And then Utah's going to jump on them early. I think they'll be ready to rock. So I hate laying all these points, but with this one, I think it makes a ton of sense. Utah minus 38.5. I think they're going to roll tonight.
Okay, speaking of laying some points, we were just talking about Georgia and Clemson in Atlanta. And if you're laying it with Georgia, you can find a 13.5. If you're taking it with Clemson, you can find a 14. You're going to lay the 13.5 with Georgia.
100%, maybe my strongest play of the week, guys. I heard you talk about a lot of people are on it. That is a little scary, but I'm so down on Clemson, it's not even funny. And I just think Dabo Swinney, who I do have a ton of respect for, I think he's a great coach. He has not changed with the times, and I think year after year you're going to see that program dip just a bit. You know, not a big NIL guy, not a big transfer portal guy at all, as in he doesn't use it. I just don't think you can survive in major college football using these kind of things. I know they have a lot of guys back. They got a lot of guys back that weren't all that good last year. Georgia's going to roll them here. I think this is a really tough matchup, and I think you'll see the talent difference between these two teams is going to be pretty big, and I think it'll be evident early in this game. I like Georgia to roll in this game big. I think, you know, even 20 maybe I would take. That's how confident I am in Georgia.
Yeah. Two more college football
plays. I really
believe
they're just better. They're just better.
Two more college football plays are going to be up. Best bets over at VSiN.com from Mr. Halterman. Quickly, you see the clock. Del Mar, race three. Who do you have?
All right, Del Mar, race three. I do like the 8. Give me the loot. The horse was claimed by Phil D'Amato last time out. D'Amato, great on the turf of Southern California, whether it's Del Mar or Santa Anita. So give me in the third race of Del Mar, number 8, give me the loot.
Give me the loot. Give me the loot. Number 8. Race 3, Aaron Halterman, 110, racingdudes.com, dudes who bet sports. Thank you, Mr. Halterman. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, guys.
110.
110.
110.
We're back.
110.
110.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Thank you, Brent Musburger. We welcome you back. And thank you to everybody that contributed to the updated NFL betting guide, which you can find over at VSiN.com. Of course, a tremendous job. So what we did is we released the initial NFL betting guide early on and then gave you kind of the pro edition with the updates. And our pro guide includes, as you can see, Caleb Williams there, post preseason updates on every team, players to watch. We've got the host best bets in there and week one betting systems. A lot of tremendous information. Go to VSiN.com/betting guides for more. You can get through the Super Bowl for $175 or I believe it's $18, $19 for a month. If you just want to give it a try, I encourage you to do so. A lot of people working very hard here at VSiN, and it's always great. Again, it is always great when you're working for three people that have your back. That includes Brian Musburger, Bill AD, and Steve Cohen. Three people I know personally that have obviously transformed VSiN, and I'm very appreciative. As we welcome you back, let's do this. Let's hear from Jacoby Brissett because he has been named the starter for the New England Patriots. In the NFL bet, you had a lot of fading. Amongst the hosts, he had a lot of fading in very creative ways. The New England Patriots this year, who sit at 4.5 as far as the season win total. If you think this team's getting to 5 wins, you're crazy. So most wins, there's just a lot of ways you can attack the Patriots this year. Once Barmore went down, you know, they move on from Judon. You know, that was the strength of a team last year. The defense, it's going to be a long season. We're going to hear from Gerard Mayo. But first, we're going to hear from Brissett. Now, Mayo came out recently and essentially said, look, Drake May is much better than Jacoby Brissett. Then Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, said, yeah, so Jacoby Brissett's the starter. Then Mayo came out and said, yeah, I haven't decided yet. So that's interesting, kind of an interesting sequence of events. Now, we do have Brissett to start a little conversation here.
I want to just show you Brissett yesterday, before he was officially named the starter today, he went on WEEI, and they flat out asked him, are you the starting quarterback of this team? And here's what he said.
I'm going to talk to the individual players tomorrow.
In my mind, I am.
Does that mean you will be starting against the Bengals?
I mean, like I said, in my eyes, I am. I haven't heard anything differently, so that's what I got to go off of.
Okay, I do have a question. When Bill Belichick left, now, he wasn't great in front of the mic because he is good in front of a mic. He just chose not to be as the head coach, and he was very petite with his words, is a way of putting it. But did the PR staff leave with him? Because how, and I'm not even joking, how do you send one of your potential starters to the Wolves of WEEI?
No answers.
In Boston, without a prepared answer to the only question that matters, are you going to start? You're laughing.
I don't know, but it's a good question. It's a good question. Gerard Mayo, you joked before we played a clip a couple days ago. I was like, yeah, he went on WEI, and you said he should not do that. This team should take – I know they're trying to move in a new direction. They're trying to be different than the Belichick, the hoodie era. Maybe Bill Belichick was covering up a lot of issues there. Like, these people don't need to talk that much because Belichick used to go in there and tank his interview every week. Yeah, well, you're just going to play good football, four quarters, and the best team's going to win. I love punters, and I think their quarterback plays really, really well, even though they haven't won a game with him starting in 12 years. Like, that's what he would do. So something to be said for Bill Belichick handling it that way intentionally versus these guys going out there with no plan at all.
I'm just, can the Crafts not afford a PR staff? Why would they do this? Now we're going to hear from Mayo, who I believe has an answer as far as who's going to be the starter.
Well, yeah, this is Gerard Mayo talking about the decision-making process and choosing a QB1.
I'm going to talk to the individual players tomorrow. I'm going to have a team meeting tomorrow, and then I'll get it to you guys.
So does that assume you made a decision, you just haven't communicated
yet
to them?
Yes, we've made a decision. I'm sure they all have an opinion on who they think should be the starting quarterback, but I don't think I have to explain it to anyone else. It's my decision, and look, if it doesn't work, blame me. Blame me. I would say one thing. I think it's important to remember, like, what's good for the team today may not be good for the team weeks down the line. And so I think the challenge is, you want to win every single game now, but also we're trying to build something special here in New England. So that to me was, that was a challenge.
Okay. Again, he shouldn't be doing this. He may end up being a great coach. I hope for Gerard Mayo's sake, he ends up being Bill Belichick reincarnate, like 2.0. I mean that. But he just said, Brissett's not very good. Hopefully when May starts to play, we get better. That's kind of discerning his word and his message there. Yeah. Fair.
What's good for the team now is not good for the team later.
You know what he should have said? What's good for the goose isn't good for the gander.
You know what he should have said? I don't have an answer for you guys. That's what he should have said. I don't have an answer you're going to like.
You guys are really inquisitive and really chatty.
You know what would be the best thing for the New England Patriots right now? Nobody talking about this situation. So give them nothing. They can't say anything. And therefore, you can't look stupid. Because, by the way, if I'm in that locker room and I'm hearing all this going on, and I know he's saying one thing behind closed doors, and he's saying one thing to the media, and he doesn't look like he really knows or has, like, volition in what he's doing here and his decision, I have questions about the leadership of my program. I have a lot of leaderships about how that trickles down to other aspects of what the Patriots are doing. Because your leader, your guy in charge, who's supposed to be definitive and make strong decisions for the success of the ball club, he can't give a straight answer.
So you're looking for dysfunction. You're looking for reasons to fade a team. We've had plenty before the Patriots season has started. Okay? If I were to – most losses, which I believe you and Kelly were both on.
Last winless, I'm on.
I'm sorry?
Last winless.
Okay, most losses prop. If I were to give you, all right, that's one, the Patriots, everybody's going to have the same answer for the most part. If I were to force you to pick the second team, you'd say whom?
I think the Giants make a case. I think the Giants are in the mix there. Maybe the Saints. I think that would be my trio.
I think the Giants is the answer. Yeah, sitting at a 6.5 win total. Hey, I want to do a quick rookie quarterback roundup before we get back into the college football with a full slate tonight. So remember, there's a lot of promise and there's a lot of hope for this 2024 NFL season because we like quarterback play and we like rookies and we like to discuss them. So let's talk about the first round draft picks and where they stand heading into the season, big guy. Number one overall pick, obviously Caleb Williams, will start versus the Titans. And while we do this, why don't you pull up the numbers? I'm going to give the answers to who's starting and who's not, and then let's give the correlating spreads on the game. So Williams is going to start versus the Titans. Jaden Daniels is going to start at the Bucs. Drake May, we just heard, is going to be backing up Jacoby Brissett. Michael Penix. So maybe some clarification about Kirk Cousins' health. It looks like Penix is going to be the backup to Cousins. J.J. McCarthy, of course, is on the IR. And Bo Nix is going to start at Seattle. Let's start with Caleb. And I believe it's the Texans, right? He's going to be starting at the Texans.
Titans,
pardon me. What's the number there? We have it wrong on the
ground. Yeah, minus 4.5 against the Titans in week one.
Okay. So hosting the Titans, laying 4.5, the Bears and Caleb Williams. How about Jaden Daniels, the Commanders at the Bucs? What's the number right now?
Washington is plus 3.5 on the road in Tampa Bay.
Juicy. Give me the hook. Give me the 3.5. Next up, let's just talk about the number. The Patriots start with whom?
They start with the Bengals, and they're 8.5-point road dogs.
8.5-point dogs. You know what that is? What does that tell you? That tells you that is a lot of people using anybody taking on the Patriots in Survivor.
Oh, every week.
Every week.
Every week.
Line them up.
Until Drake May has to come in either mid-game or start and mess everything up. So I'd say one note for people wanting to just fade the Patriots every week in Survivor. There could be a second half that starts with Drake May. And I'm not going to take too much out of preseason, but I can tell you this. He's going to take more shots than Jacoby Brissett takes with the football.
We talked about Cousins starting for Atlanta. Well, Pittsburgh yesterday announced their starter was going to be your boy Russell Wilson. And Atlanta's laying 3. And I'm looking. You know, that has a chance of going to 2.5 before 3.5 with the juice right now.
That is
so
interesting.
So I'm seeing, for example, Westgate has Atlanta laying 3 even money. So it tells you the wind's blowing down on that number, which is interesting to me.
I think everyone does want to lay it with Atlanta, but it's a lot of new pieces, a lot of continuity on the defense on the other side. Curious how Atlanta handles getting hit in the mouth by that Steeler defense. I know it's at home, but still curious how they react to that.
Also, it's a Tomlin versus Morris matchup in week one. Morris trying to find his footing after getting a second chance to be a head coach there in Atlanta. When we return, full slate, college football tonight on a Thursday. Bill Bender, the Sporting News senior college football writer, joins us. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Bill Bender does a great job for a long time covering college football. Certainly a new look this year for the Sporting News senior college football writer. You can find Bill on Twitter, at BillBender92. And we may just run these 12, or most of the plays. You can find them over at the Sporting News, but he's got 12 plays ATS with a great write-up over at the Sporting News. We say hi to Bill Bender. And I want to start here, Bill. I know it's not an official play for you, but in Boulder tonight, Colorado hosting North Dakota State, that number sitting right around 10.5, some shops showing Colorado laying 11. You recently had a one-on-one with Dion. May I ask what you took from the conversation?
Dion is going to do it his way, right? Like, he defended his portal use. He talked about how, you know, it's not just Shador and Travis Hunter. He may have a couple more stars on that roster. This was before he banned the reporter. So, I mean, that was a little bit different. But I took away from it what I've tried to take away from all along. I wasn't really all the way in on the bandwagon last year because I knew there would be growing pains. This game tonight's a tough one, though. I'm having a hard time picking it because I need to see. It's almost like an in-game play for me because I want to really see. Deion can tell you and me that the offense and defensive line is better. I need to watch the first couple plays to see if they get pushed around.
There's some good football games tonight. I don't think any are as intriguing as North Dakota State and Colorado. I totally agree, and potentially an in-game play there. Let's go ahead and start with a few plays for the weekend and week one of college football. Clemson. Now, you've got Clemson catching 13.5. I'll do you better. Right now in the market, you can find a 14, and you're going to take it versus Georgia in Atlanta.
I'll take Clemson. And I'm nervous about it, but – you know, because there's always the specter that Georgia could do to Clemson what they did to Oregon a couple years ago, and then we all open our eyes and be like, wow, it's the best team in the country. last time these guys played, it was 10-3. There was one defensive touchdown. And Clemson's defense is good up front. And it really comes down to Carson Beck or Cade Klubnik. Who do you believe will push the ball down the field a little bit, make a couple plays? I think they'll play each other tight in the first half. Georgia maybe pulls away. You might sweat a little bit, but I got Georgia winning that game by 10 points.
Okay, love it. Let's keep it going. Penn State, West Virginia. This is an interesting one here. Penn State's laying 8.5, Bill.
Yeah, I think they've already have traffic jams in Morgantown. I think they're ready. I mean, come on. That's why I love college football, guys. This is a regional rivalry. They haven't played in a while. West Virginia hasn't beat Penn State since 1988. I was 9 years old. I remember watching Major Harris play. Such a cool thing. One thing to remember, though, with James Franklin and the Nittany Lions, for all the big game struggles, this is a team that has lost exactly one game to an unranked opponent in the last three seasons, and that took 9 overtimes to do it with Illinois. I think they manage in the first half. They dominated this game last year, too. If they turn Drew Aller loose a little bit and the defense creates a couple turnovers, I think they withstand that early surge from the crowd in Morgantown, pull away and cover in the second half.
So the next one I'm going to ask Bill Bender, of course, the Sporting News does a great job. He's got his ATS write-ups over at the Sporting News. Bill Bender, 92 on Twitter. The next one's fascinating on a multitude of levels. One, it's in-state, not conference-wise, but in-state with Florida hosting Miami. Florida's catching 2.5. You are going to take the dog at home, but also interesting because of the coaches, right? You would think Napier is on the hot seat. I don't think Cristobal's going anywhere, but he has a lot of talent this year.
Loser feels the heat, though, right? Because Florida, you know, obviously with that murderer's row of a schedule that they have, every game in November is going to be tough. So I'm looking at Florida. Will they be able to win this game at home? Hey, these teams that don't play enough, quarterback play with Graham Mertz on one side, Cam Ward, an exciting player for Miami on the other. One thing with Miami, watch Damian Martinez in this game. He's the running back for Morgan State. He's physical, good between the tackles. That's a big difference for Miami. This game lends itself to fluky things in the fourth quarter. And when I think a game could get fluky late between two even teams, I'm going to take the home team. It's not really an – do you guys consider it an upset? I don't, right? Like,
I don't.
I think Florida wins a close one. No,
I don't. I think Miami's more talented, but when you consider playing at Florida in the swamp, I wouldn't think it's an upset, but Napier needs it. I would say that. I think this is a huge game for Napier. Let me ask you about another fascinating matchup on a multitude of levels. One, College Station, because Elko's there, and it seems to be, after a few stagnant years, there seems to be some pretty high energy with the program, and here comes Notre Dame to start. Now, A&M's laying 3, and it looks like you're going to take it with Notre Dame.
Yeah, and it's going to be one of those things where can they manage? You know, I checked the weather reports this time of year. It's hot in Ohio, by the way. It's like 95 degrees here. So I was like, well, if it's hot here, what's it doing in College Station? And over the weekend, it's supposed to be 80 with 86% humidity at night. So Notre Dame will have to adjust to that. I do think their defense travels. I think Riley Leonard, all he has to do is not turn the ball over to lend itself into getting Texas A&M and their crowd fired up for this game. I'm going to go with the Irish. I think they're the better team. When I pulled it, before I even looked at this line a week ago, somebody told me Texas A&M was favored, and I'm like, what? Why? And that makes me a little nervous, but I'm still going to go with the Irish.
Yeah, that reaction, you take the points. I'm in L.A., Bill Bender joining us. I'm in L.A., and I would say there are a lot of questions about this USC program, to say the least. I wouldn't say Lincoln Riley's under pressure, but I wouldn't say he's not under pressure. I don't know how to say it. He is taking on LSU, of course, and LSU's laying 4.5. You're going to lay it with LSU.
This is going to be a lot of points. I might take the over here because I still have questions about both defenses. I know they both got new defensive coordinators, Phantom Lynn, Baker for LSU. So for me, LSU's been in this spot, and they've played huge openers the last 4 years, and this is just the other one. I think you just put it perfectly. Lincoln Riley, not exactly on the hot seat, but the pressure to accelerate the rebuild. I was thinking about this today. I want to see if you subscribe to this as well. and Caleb Williams covered up the rebuild they had. Because that first year they were so good, Caleb was amazing, but I don't think the entire program was where it should be. And that's what Lincoln Riley's working toward. And games like this and playing well in games like this, it helps you build that. On the other side, I think there's more pressure on Brian Kelly. You can't lose an opener for the third straight season, not against a Big Ten team from the West Coast, and when you complain or want to be an SEC powerhouse top 10 type team.
No, you put it perfectly about Lincoln Riley as well, because I grew up near you. I grew up in Michigan. I went to school at South Carolina, so I'm used to Big Ten and SEC kind of fervor. What I didn't realize, Bill, until I moved out here to LA, is these boosters at USC are intense. And there's a lot of passion around this program. The way the defense performed last year, not saying Lincoln's been testy with the media. Again, can't say he's under pressure, but the pressure could start to build is the only way I could frame it.
You know what? That's a little bit of 6 degrees then, because I lived in Charlotte for 7 years, so I had to learn, and my wife worked in South Carolina. So we learned it down there, how, you know, the different perspectives on football. And, you know, all I knew from my time down there is they thought that the SEC could beat everybody and everything. And at the time, that's what they were doing. But the pressure, and you said it well about Lincoln Riley. At Big Ten Media Day, I thought he was cagey. I thought he was going after people. I thought he couldn't say the word blue blood enough. And now you're coming into a conference. One thing USC will figure out pretty quick is the Big Ten, at least in my lifetime, has revolved, and you know this, it's revolved around two schools. And those two schools control everything, Ohio State, Michigan, all the football narratives. Will Oregon, USC, Penn State share in those this year? It's definitely an interesting question.
It absolutely is. More ATS plays from Bill Bender over at the Sporting News. Does a great job breaking it down. Bill, thank you again for the time. And we look forward to talking to you again over the college football season. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to get over to my son's scrimmage. There's no line on this game, though. They're only eighth graders. We'll get to that later. Thanks so much for having me on.
Get me a number. I'll bet it. Bill Bender, 92, on Twitter, headed over to his son's scrimmage, which I would imagine if I was lucky enough to have a son or a daughter, I would gravitate towards one of the parents that did want to build to place a number on the game, and then we could go back and forth and figure out how we want to do this.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Sit out there, stand on the sidelines?
Come on.
Watch them run triple option directly into the center's butt every play?
Again, what am I, childish? No, they are children. We can still bet them. Okay? And that's not disrespectful. The kids don't know. Just got to make it interesting.
All right. Real talk. When I lived in Valdosta, South Georgia high school football's crazy. There was a guy who ran a book and set numbers and illegally took action on all Region 1 football games.
Oh, no. Like, if you don't – high school football in South Carolina was – well, college football, high school football from a local book took more action than the NFL.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
Specifically, a couple counties go hard. When we come back, we've got family plays. Sharp money. You know what I was going to say, big guy? We're looking good with our under 8.5 Mets Diamondbacks on the total. However, it's tied up at 2-2, end of 8. So extras get a little dicey with
Not
these
fun.
Totals.
Not fun.
Not fun. We got the Snakes tied up at 2-2. Dustin cleared with his Rockies over 5.5 team total. The A's out in front of the Reds, middle two, up 4-0. Okay, we've got a lot to do, including our picks for this evening and some family plays. Why don't we start with Lindquist here? He's very sharp when it comes to baseball. Remember, we're betting college football, but don't sleep on baseball. And I believe our buddy Eric Lindquist has got to play for us, Dustin.
Yeah, you know him from Odd Shopper. Find him on Twitter at Eric Lindquist. And he's always looking for good angles when it comes to baseball. And here he is with a Sharp Money family play for today.
Sharp Money family play. Hello again, Sharp Money. I'm Eric Lindquist at oddshopper.com, coming to you with my favorite MLB prop for Thursday, August 29th. We're going to fire up Charlie Morton under 17 and a half outs, minus 104 over at Caesars Sportsbook. That's about a 10-11 cent difference between that and the next listed book. So really nice price that we're getting at Caesars. And I love this play for a couple of reasons. The main one being you have an entire middle to bottom portion of this Atlanta Braves bullpen intact. What I mean by that is the two closers, the eighth inning, ninth inning guys, they've pitched back-to-back days here against the Minnesota Twins. They've won three straight, got a lot of length in that series from their arms. But gotta say, having those middle portion guys all available for the beginning of this series in a very, very important divisional series, it's going to be something where Charlie Morton, if he doesn't have his A stuff, and he is facing these Philadelphia Phillies for the first time this season, which seems impossible, but if he doesn't have his best stuff, they have lots of options to try to play the platoon game, to move things around. And well, Charlie Morton does have a couple of reverse splits in the power department, right around a 135 expected ISO against lefties and a little north of a 200 expected ISO against righties. The weather, even though it's come down, has the wind blowing out just about 10 miles per hour towards that left field pole. So power, going to play a little bit up here still for me in terms of ballpark factors. So Charlie Morton, he struggled with that from time to time throughout his career, despite having really good strikeout stuff. So Charlie Morton, under 17 and a half outs, I'm going to be firing it up. I think you should too. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you, Eric Lindquist. A great addition to the Sharp Money family. Oddshopper.com. And you can check if you missed the play, you can go over to the best bets over at VSiN.com to get more. Also part of the family is John Bowman, Baseball with Bowman, former scout for the Blue Jays, Tulane baseball big guy. What do we have?
At John Bowman 11 on Twitter, and he's got a dog he likes in the AL East. Here he is, John Bowman, Sharp Money Family Play.
What's up, Sharp Money? John Bowman here from Baseball with Bowman, and I wanted to give you guys my favorite play for the day. We're going to go with the Blue Jays on the money line against the Red Sox. Bowden Francis against Cutter Crawford. Bowden Francis has been straight up dominant lately. His last 22 innings pitched, he's only allowed two runs. Cutter Crawford hasn't been pitching really well since the deadline at all. His past couple starts have been better, but he's really struggled overall with home runs and with walks. The Blue Jays are actually hitting righties really well right now. Their bullpen's ranked top 10 in the league since the deadline, and they've been winning games. While the Red Sox, they have the worst bullpen in the league. They're not hitting righties. They're hitting righties slightly better, but they haven't been playing nearly as well, just 4-8 at home since the deadline. So I like the Blue Jays at plus money.
Okay, he worked for the Blue Jays, John Bowman, and he's on the Blue Jays tonight. No bias. We unfortunately had to say goodbye to our Sharp Money survivor. Two nice wins on WNBA props. His name is Chance Copperpot. So with him bidding adieu last night, I believe, Dustin, we have a farewell from Chance.
Yeah, this is our guy, Chance Copperpot. Looked like the sharpest WNBA mind out there. Unfortunately, things did not go well last night, and this is his bidding adieu to Sharp Money Survivor.
All right, Dustin and Patrick. Left it all on the floor. What could you do? Sometimes you lose. I like the play. I stand by it. It happens. Hey, best of luck to Nish Gandhi, all the future people that might be in the contest. Really appreciate VSiN for letting me be on. You guys are awesome. Watch you every day. Listen to you every day. You're the best. Love you guys. I will see you next time. Peace.
Okay, Chance Copperpot listens and watches us every day. I wouldn't get used to it. But thank you very much. Okay, let's get our plays in for tonight. Now, again, I'm going to be on a bit of an island because let's just take a look at the number right now. I'm just taking a look at Colorado. So, little buyback happening on North Dakota. This is crazy. Ooh. You can find a 9.5 in the market all the way up to 11. So, again, not to overstress it, but it's very important. If you're betting this game and you're not taking the 11 with North Dakota State, which is what I'm taking, you're doing it wrong. If you're betting the game and you're laying it, you have to lay the 9.5 with Colorado. But the market's all over the place. I'll be on an island with the Bison. Not necessarily an island, because I'm sure there's some sharp people on North Dakota State as well. I'll have to see it to believe it with Colorado. I think the better team hangs close tonight, North Dakota State.
And as a note for the rest of the season, Colorado is a public team. If you're looking to bet on games involving them, understand that money and action's probably going to come on them closer to kickoff, right? Later in the action when the public jumps on. And by the way, the Mets just scored in the top of the ninth inning to take a 3-2 lead. So My bet doesn't look good. Yours still looks good on the under. So not thrilled about that.
Yeah, but my heavier bet was after you had a great breakdown of Arizona.
You know, here's the problem. If I have a casual thing where I'm just like, yeah, you know, I like Colorado team total over 5.5. I think the pitcher allows a lot of contact for Miami. Go over on his seven plus hits at plus money. I'm like, I just like that. When I say I love the Diamondbacks, never comes to fruition. Oh, now the Mets the Diamondbacks just throwing the ball over the field. Now there's a runner on third. You gotta be kidding me.
And to be fair, you did say you loved it.
I loved it.
I gave you an opportunity to go first five, which would have cashed.
Yeah.
Hey, you've been on fire lately. Don't get down.
No, you know what? I'm going to pump myself up. VSiN.com/picks. Let me click the top experts where I can sort things. Oh, look at your boy. 14-10 over the last seven. Fourth place. So I'm doing okay. Doing okay.
I should say something here, but
don't.
Another play that I love tonight.
Do it.
And you've lost the hook. Coastal Carolina, Jacksonville State. I like the tricked up run game of Rich Rod hosting Coastal here with quarterback questions. I laid the 3. I still laid the 3.5. Yes, I understand the importance of that hook.
Yeah, I love the under. Jacksonville State's defense was awesome a year ago. They also want to run the ball more. Both teams have questions at wide receiver. I think under 55 is a gift. I think at best both teams get into like the low 20s, maybe mid 20s, but we're not getting anything over 55 points in that contest.
Okay. If you have something else,
I do.
Speak now or forever hold your peace, because we've got to close tabs.
Colorado team total over 34.5. I can't tell you if they're going to win this game. I can't tell you if they're going to cover. I do believe the offense, based on how they came out of the gates last year and scoring in bunches, out of conference, technically inferior opponent, right? FCS, even though we know North Dakota State's really good at that level, I do think Colorado's going to be able to score. Whether or not they can stop them, that's why I can't look at the side in this one. Team total over 34.5. North Carolina, money line. I laid 128 with them on the road at Minnesota.
And I'm taking the 2 with Minnesota. Yeah. Apologize. Go ahead.
In the end, my hope is the skill guys for North Carolina step up and make plays when they need to late in the game. And then one baseball for you. First 5, the Houston Astros. Minus a half run, minus 114. Taking on the Royals. And Brady Singer's on the bump. Looked at this one. Brady Singer's a guy who allows a lot of contact. 34 hits allowed in his last 21 2/3 innings. A 6.23 ERA over his last 4. A 4.04 road ERA. I like the offense for Houston, but I also like backing Hunter Brown, who has found himself since adding a split-finger fastball a few months ago. Let's back Houston. The Astros, first 5, minus a half run.
All right, big guy. Let's close some tabs before we get out of here.
Patrick, you said you're on an island. Would you say that means you're an island boy?
I can't lie. I kind of like their vibe. But
oh, no, I think they're bad people.
Things went downhill pretty quickly.
You talked about the Super Bowl loser being bad in week 1. 4-20 against the spread since the year 2000. Is that good?
In the year 2000.
Go ahead. Conan O'Brien. North Carolina quarterback Connor Harrell is going to be mixed in tonight along with Max Johnson. Looked up Connor Harrell. I was like, you know what? Is this Graham Harrell's son? I didn't actually have to open it. I just saw the Google image search. I can confirm not related to Graham Harrell.
Well, Graham Harrell would be way too young to have a dude starting in college.
I don't think you know how puberty works.
By 46, you would think.
Still waiting for it. Vacillate was a word used by Chris Ballard, GM of the Colts. Alternate or waver between different opinions or actions. Be indecisive. You talked about Real Madrid. Is there a fake Madrid? And then secondly, the lyrics you said. Did you know this lyric? Stand 10 toes on my 2 feet by Phoenix Flexen is the rapper's name.
No, I don't know. Listen, I don't know if I know how puberty works, but I know how respect works. And so I respect you for always having my back. So I appreciate you.
Likewise.
For that. I know how professionalism works. I certainly know that. 110. We'll see you tomorrow here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.